much smaller cross, you know, group of fishermen, but it's nonetheless very popular, and especially in Tasmania. And we've just held the national championships in Tasmania, despite the difficulties that the pandemic presents. Normally that's limited to 60 competitors, but this year it was less than that because of the impact of COVID. It was postponed, but nonetheless, we had a good field of competitors at our national championships in Tasmania.
How did they rationalise that? Because I'm thinking to myself, well, if you go and watch a sporting event in a stadium, yes, you probably need to be careful about the numbers, etc. But I'm just thinking with an outdoor sport like fly fishing, and you can move around everywhere, what was the rationale behind the limited numbers?
Well, the problem was border, crossing borders and the like. We were scheduled to hold it in February, but people coming from New South Wales and Victoria at that time were not able to come and had to reschedule things to come again, in April. So just those difficulties. But nonetheless, we held it and it was a great success. So.
Did we have any Tasmanians successful there? How many sections do you have? How many events?
Well, there were four sections. So it was the Mersey River, the Meander River, Penstock Lagoon, and Arthur's Lake were the venues of the competition. And the national champion actually came from Victoria, but the person who came third was from Tasmania, and the lady champion, also, I think, from Tasmania. So it was, quite a few Tasmanians in there, but it is very competitive between the states, and Victoria took out the state teams competition.
I guess from looking at it from a position of not being a fisherman, I look at how do you get better? What are the key things that you need to in competition to be as a fly fisherman? Is it a lot about casting? Is it a lot about the flies that you put on? What makes a good fly fisherman?
A really good fly. Well, it's like golf or tennis or anything else. It requires practice, and it requires skill and dexterity, but it also requires a great deal of concentration because. Fish are quite cunning, and if you get one to bite and you miss it, it won't come back. So in fly fishing, if one takes your fly, you've got to hook that fish on barbless hooks, is what's used in competition, land that fish and release it and measure it. But if you lose it after you've hooked it or you miss it on the strike, that's all about concentration and technique. And so it does require concentration and technique. It also requires a degree of fitness.
Yeah, I guess it would too. And hand-eye coordination is a bit like fielding in the slips for as a cricketer. You need to have nice soft hands and you need to be able to be really careful. Are we in peak season at the moment for fly fishing, Glenn?
Or? No, the season's pretty much closed now. The season reopens on the 1st of August and goes through until, May. Basically, so there's still some fishing on the mainland, and there are still state competitions taking place on the mainland, but not in Tasmania.
I used to coach a cricketer in Launceston, and he's also an international as well, played cricket for Tasmania, Chris Bassano, who's I think works with Fisheries Tasmania, I think still, and maybe does tours, etc. Is Chris still involved? And so, and who are our top fly fishermen in Tassie?
Well, Chris Bassano is certainly one of our top fly fishermen and a great sportsman, as you noted. Chris fished in the recent World Championships that were held in Tasmania. That was in 2019, the last World Championships before the pandemic basically stopped people competing at international level, and Chris would not have been overly pleased with his performance in that competition, but he still came 30th in a very strong international field. John Stagg from Tasmania is one of our very best fly fishing competitors, and John came 12th in the world. So in Tasmania we have, and in Australia we have some internationally recognised and very good fly fishermen.
So if I'm a young kid and I'm interested, and I'm saying, tapping my dad on the shoulder, and I'm saying, Dad, I've got a mate, he loves to go fishing and he's a fly fisherman. What sort of costs is a young bloke or a young lady going to have to fork out to actually get out and start casting?
Well, initially not very much. You can buy relatively modest equipment, and that's all you need to get started. We have a youth development program for cadets aged 11 to 14. You can start competition fishing at 14 through to the age of 19. They're classified as youths. And we have 12 cadets in Tasmania who will start to enjoy clinics that we'll be putting on during the year and into the coming season. We've budgeted something like $5,000 that we've raised from raffles to use to run those clinics, which are free to the participants. So we're very keen to get young people into competition fishing. We've also applied to the Tasmanian government through the COVID sports grants program for waders, boots, rods, reels for the youth development program to be used in Tasmania.
So are you able to access many funds from state government et cetera? There's nothing happening?
But what we're aiming for is once we can grow that youth development program to a bigger level than it's at, maybe with 30-plus cadets and youth participants, then we'd like to look for that program to be sponsored.
And I guess when I look at a lot of my mates, they're always talking. There's a number of them that do fly fishing, etc. They to have a pathway would be brilliant. And now on this, they're constantly telling me that these are the really good. Or that fishermen are a little bit loath to tell exactly where the good spots are, but they're constantly out there. If you needed to get the word out, what do you do? Do you run some sort of advertising campaigns? How do you get the message across to get young people?
It's difficult. Well, through you, Michael, I hope we'll get the message across. And anyone that's interested is welcome to contact your station and get my number and give me a call.
More than happy to pass that on, Glenn, for sure.
Thank you. And we have a website, which is Fly Fish Australia, Inc., the website, and a Facebook page. And very shortly, we'll be putting up, that's within the next few weeks, details of the youth development program and what the clinics are and when they're being held. And there'll be a contact number or email address for interested participants to contact us.
So if there's anyone out there listening, get on that Facebook page. Just get in there with Fly Fishing Tasmania, Fly Fish Australia.
Yep.
And we can certainly give the details because the place is just set for it, isn't it, Tasmania?
It's absolutely
pristine.
It's a magnificent fishery, and many of the competitors who came to the World Championships rave about the fishing that they experienced. One described it as like fishing in a zoo, which I thought was a very good description. And it is a beautiful place.
All right, Glenn, thanks very much for your time today. We will certainly, I'll put this interview up on our 7AD and 7BU Facebook page. I'll also upload it onto the 7AD, 7BU website where people can get some information, listen back to the interview, and hopefully we can rally around and we can promote the sport of fly fishing, because I know that it is such a popular sport, and the more youngsters that we get enjoying it, we know that the older brigade love their fishing, but wouldn't it be great to get some more youngsters? Thanks heaps.
Absolutely.
For coming on.
Terrific. Thank you, Michael. Anytime. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for your time. Glenn Eggleton there is the president of Fly Fishing Australia. And if you're a young kid and you want to get out there and...